Dear brothers and sisters, I may introduce myself to you. I am a man like you. Of course, I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master, at whose feet I learnt about the mystery of life, which is the basic principle of all religions, how to solve it. I will lay before you the same which is given out almost by all masters who came in the past. Masters have been coming, and when they left the scene, there were formations just to propagate their teachings to the humanity at large. I won't touch the outer aspects of the various religions that came into being after they visited the earth. You'll find, but their teachings are with us in the form of scriptures. Scriptures are old past masters speaking through books. They are a fine record of the experiences they had with them, with God, and with their own self first, what things helped them on the way and what stood in their progress. They left all that in the form of scriptures for our guidance. So we are fortunate in the 20th century that all masters who have come so far, they are valuable teachings, they are fine records of their experiences that they had, are with us today. Had we come before Guru Nanak, say 500 years back, we would not have the findings that he had with God. If you go back, say, over 1500 years, the teachings of Prophet Muhammad would not have been with us. Further back, about 2000 years back, you'll find the teachings of Christ would not have been with us. Still further back, you go beyond, say, 5,000 years back, the teachings of the Buddha would not have been with us. So we are fortunate in this century that we have all golden treasures of their findings in the realm of spirituality. Knowing God and knowing first one's own self, because it is the self that can know the over-self, what we are, who we are. So I will take up this only from the esoteric side of teachings. There have been many masters who came in the past. If you have to go through them, so each religion has two aspects. One is the outer and the other is the inner one. Outer forms various scripture, reading of various scriptures, saying of prayers in a certain way, performing rites and rituals, and they practically differ apparently, but the purpose is the same. Of course, you'll find the difference is due to the various customs, different customs prevailing in those countries, and the climatic influences as well. To read scriptures is the first thing in each religion. What they are, as I told you, they are fine records of the teachings of the masters they gave out. Past masters speaking through books. By reading them and having the true import of them, you'll find that they are guidance for us, those who know, those who wish to know God and to know oneself. But even to have the right interpretation thereof, we need somebody who knows the way. What the masters saw or had experience in their lives, they have given that. Whenever they said anything, they meant only one thing at a time, you see. So to have the right interpretation thereof, we need somebody who knows the way or treads on the way. He has to some extent the same experiences that they gave out. Their scope ends. They are worth tons in golds and emeralds, you see, for those who are at seeking. Then further comes about the saying of prayers and performance of various rites and rituals. The main purpose is to develop love and devotion for God. These are good actions. But the purpose of knowing God is a little bit different, you see. So knowing God will arise only to our own self when we are liberated from the mind and outgoing faculties, you see. So I will take up only and put before you only the findings of the masters who came in the past from the esoteric point of view. So all masters agree that there is a maker of this universe. It did not just come about by itself. The maker himself is unchangeable. But the world created is constantly undergoing change. The reason for that is God is all consciousness, made of one substance, and as such that cannot be decomposed. So that is eternal, unchangeable permanence. And the creation world that is made of atoms, and atoms are changing, you see. Is made of matter, matter is made of elements, and elements are made of atoms. So naturally, that will decompose someday. So matter, world is made of matter that is changing, and on the same principle, God made man with the same privileges to everybody. Man has a body, physical body, and is an embodied soul. It is spirit in man. So we are also conscious entities made of one substance. As such, we are also eternal. But the body is made of matter, likewise that the world is made. So that will decompose something. But man body is considered to be the highest in all creation. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. In macrocosm, we have got three planes, physical, astral and causal. God has given us body to work through these planes. Man body is a wonderful house we live in. God gave us body to work through them so that we may be able, whenever we wish, to traverse in those planes and even go beyond. But pity it is that we do not know beyond this physical body. Time does come when we have to leave the body. Our body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. Man body is a wonderful house we live in. We have got 9 apertures of 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth and other genital organs, but we cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out, some power is controlling it back into the body. Surgeons perform operations which last for hours of the stomach, etc., but still with all belly cut, we cannot run away out of the body. There's some power that is controlling us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Similarly, that controlling power is controlling all creation. So we have to know that controlling power, which is called by the word God and various other names as given by the masters. So man body is considered to be the highest in all creation, because in man body alone we have the capacity and privilege to realize God. All masters' findings are like that. Mohammedans call it is the noblest of all creation. Hindus called it as the form divine. And Sikhs tell us the man is the highest of all creation. And the Christ referred to it as the temple of the living God. You find in Bible, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you? As the Spirit of God, the Supreme Power, dwells in us, what are we but the Spirit of God?" As we are the Spirit of God, then why search we for a so-called life principle? As we are the Spirit of God, and as the Spirit of God is eternal, why think we that we can die and become extinct? So all ancient masters taught that the man is eternal in his own right, which stems from the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost in man's body. You'll find that all masters, whenever they came, they gave out the same thing. It is laid down in the Upanishads, when the bodies were set up, the souls of the rishis came up and entered in the man body. They selected that as the highest of all creation. Similarly, in the Mohammedan scriptures is laid down, when the man body was set up, God ordered the angels to bow down before the man body. So you will find the man is the highest in all creation. Now you'll find man is its aspect, different aspects. It has the physical body, it has intellect, and it is embodied soul. You see, these are the findings of almost all masters who came in the past, and they say, well, develop all around. We have developed physically, we have developed intellectually in a very wonderful way. We have found so many new inventions which are very astonishing. We can go around the world in an hour or so. We can fly from one end of the world to the other end in hours. We are now trying to reach the moon. But with all these advancements, physical and intellectual, we are not happy. The reason why the third side, which is its own self, that we have forgotten, the spirit in man. So all masters who came, they drew our attention towards the fact, well, look here, your body is more than all possessions and remains. Your life is still more valuable than the body. We have done so much about the body and possessions, but what we have done about our own self. In an accident, suppose the house is on fire, all possessions are burnt away, you escape safe, you say, thank God, I am saved. So body is more valuable than all possessions. God forbid, if one breaks his leg or arm, still he says, thank God, I am saved. So life is more valuable than the body too. But we have done so much about our physical body and outer possessions, and so much, but what we have done about our own selves, you see. We know little or nothing about our own self. This is the side which is not cared for. We have pinned ourselves to the outward shell of the body, but we have done nothing about the kernel therein that we are. We are the indweller of the body. We are only carrying on the body for a certain period, which is the golden opportunity given to us to know God and to know oneself first. So you'll find all masters who think that you must know yourself first. As self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Old Greeks had to say the same thing. Gnothis fiaton, know thyself. Upanishad says so, know thyself. The Bible says, be still and know that you are that. So I mean to say, the findings of all masters in all religions, they have given out the same parallel thoughts, which are the same everywhere. So God is realized. Now the highest aim is before us, is to know God. All scriptures say so. But to know God, we have to know ourselves. How to know ourselves? By self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. This physical body which is shaken off at the time of death, if we learn now how to leave the body, we will know we are not this body. We are the indweller of the body. We have got the astral body to work through the astral planes and causal body through the causal planes. If we just rise above all these, we know that Father is working through me and I am in the Father. I and my Father are one. This is what all masters say. And Guru Nanak says, until you know yourself, you are in a grand delusion. We can come out of this delusion only if we can analyze ourselves from the body at will. We say, it is my body, it is my coat, it in my hat. The latter two we can take it off, put it off. But can we put it off our own bodies too? It is only at the time of death that we have to leave the body. If now we know how to leave off the body, you see, then the matter will be clear. There will be no fear of death. So Master says, if you know God, because He is the controlling power keeping us in the body, the nearest approach to it, if at all you can find Him, it is within you. What the people have been doing so far, they have tried to find Him by going to the mountains and the secluded places, into forests, other places of pilgrimage, where God resides everywhere. There is no place where God is not. He is pervading all creation. The whole world is the true temple of God. And in a miniature scale, man's body is the true temple of God. That very controlling power that keeps all creation under its control, that is also keeping us in the body. The nearest approach for that is just to invert us up within us, just to enter the temple of the mind, of the man's body. So macrocosm in the microcosm of the man's body, if we have to find out, we will have to enter in the microcosm, I mean the man's body, to find Him, because there it is the nearest approach you have got direct. When you know Him, you can see Him all, everywhere. We seek Him through the scriptures. Scriptures, as I told you, they give us an interest, can create in us in an interest to know God. But the God which we have to know is already the very controlling power within our own self. We reside in this body, and also that controlling power, which is called by different names, is also resides in the body. If at all two brothers are living in man's body, but soul and God, but soul cannot see God. That is a pity. Masters have referred to it such like the soul and God are lying in the same bed, but our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and our outgoing faculties are so identified with the outer things that we have forgotten our own self. So for that purpose, we have to tap inside, as Emerson puts it, or peep inside. So we can withdraw even within oneself. We can realize God when we reach the third eye or the single eye, or rise above senses. This is realized by first withdrawing from the all the consciousness from the body up to the eye center, and from by taking up by means of the God in action power, which is called word or nam, which is already the controlling power within your own self. So you'll find to find Him where. For that purpose, all masters said, you must be reborn. When Christ came, He said, unless, except you be reborn, be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where? Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. You can find a clue of it when you enter the laboratory of the man body and rise above senses. So unless you come up there, this is the word when Christ gave out, Nicodemus was a ruler of the place. He said, Masters, how can we, I'm old, how can I re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? When Master said, they mean something, that is not a birth of the flesh, but birth of the spirit. Flesh is born of the flesh, and spirit of the spirit. So to be, then again he emphasized, you must be reborn. So this very thing exists in other Master sayings in these two, that said you must be twice born. One is physical birth, the other, next birth is just rising above body consciousness into the beyond. So such like teachings we find common in all. And further they say, learn to lie so that you may begin to live. What is that? Saint Plutarch says, soul experiences when leaving the body the same way as one who is initiated into the mysteries of the beyond. So at the time of death you must have watched somebody dying. The soul withdraws from beneath and just withdraws at the back of the eyes, and eyes are upturned. Then soul leaves the body. So whatever we do at the time of death, soul has to rise above body consciousness, above the senses, and come at the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body. Just a bulb or a lamp in a room has one place, and from there light is radiated through the whole room. Similarly, the bulb or the soul is at back the eyes. From there it illumines the whole body. So what Masters meant, well, learn to die so that you may begin to live. If you know how to rise above body consciousness, then you will have an everlasting life. This is what all other Masters in the East said. So Guru Nanak says, learn to die 100 times a day at will. Is it possible? Saint Paul said, I die daily. The question was put to Prophet Muhammad. They said, is it a death which will lead us to the grave? The Prophet said, no. It is not a death that will lead you to the grave, but it is a death which will lead you from the darkness into the light. Similar, all Masters say, this is what is meant, as I told you. We have to first withdraw from outside within, to tap inside, to enter the laboratory of the man body, and then you have to rise above the senses, at the back of the eye, which is the seat of the soul in the body. So this is realized by first withdrawing all the consciousness from our attention from outside within, and by entering within the man body we have to rise above the level of the eye, which is the seat of the soul in the body. This is what is meant by learn to die so that you may begin to live. Prophet Muhammad said, O man, you have got the man body, you are fortunate. Go, learn to leave the body at will and know God. God is already there. But we do not know because our mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, you see, and outgoing faculties are engrossed in the outward things so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. The first thing is just to withdraw from outside. So main obstacle to God realization is our own mind, which is fond of pleasures. A child for parents, friends and playmates, as young for his wife and children, then for wealth, property, power and prestige. He goes on seeking one player after another, thus chasing a mirage. So you'll find that we have to just analyze ourselves from mind and outgoing faculties. That we can do when we first withdraw from outside, enter the temple of the man body, and then rise above senses. You see, this is what is called to die daily. This is what is called to, you must be born on. Born anew. This is what is meant by the masters, you must be twice born. So these are the common findings of all masters. So the soul is dominated by the mind and the latter is ruled by the senses. Man is as it were tied down by mind. So this is the first difficulty that stands in the way. If we learn how to control the mind, then the other step that we will take, that will reach the home of our Father. So, what the Master say, we must be pure of mind, you see. Those who are given up to outward sensuous life, they cannot withdraw from outside. They are dragged on like anything. What does mind want? Mind is after pleasures, and outward pleasures can be divided, you see, into two parts. One, mind is dragged away outside by beautiful sceneries, and the other by very sweet tunes of songs, you might say. So, unless this mind gets some superior, higher form of pleasure within, it won't leave outside. So, God has made arrangement that all glory and beauty lies within you. Simply for that you have to invert and rise above body consciousness. For that reason, if you come across some people, you must have some elementary steps of a normal life, you see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this is almost all masters who came, they gave out. We must have normal, temperate life. We are born, the senses are for our use. We were not made for the senses. Now the senses drag us out like anything through the outgoing faculties. And the outgoing faculties, they are five in number. Sight is working through the eyes. Well, similarly, audition is working through the ears. Smell is working through the nose. And taste is working through the tongue, and touch is working through the skin. So these outgoing faculties always keep us engaged outside. If we control these, you see, we can invert. The first thing, how to enter, how there are nine doors in the man body, as I told you before. There is also a tenth door, you see, which is within the body, but very few people really know about it. that is at the back of the eyes, and masters have referred to that. If you sit at the feet of somebody, he will tell you how to withdraw from outside, how to close the outward doors of the body, how to invert first, and how to rise above body consciousness or senses. Then what will happen? You will come in contact with the coordination power. So I told you, unless mind gets something superior, he won't leave the outer layers. So that God is worldless. When it came into expression and into action, that is called word. That is called by other masters as naam, or name, or shabda. I'm told in it that has two aspects. One is light, the other is sound. You'll find in the Bible that in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and Word was God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. Again it is said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made." And that is the upholding power, upholding all things by the word of His power. So that is the eternal. As grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. It is not the manuscriptable word, but it is that power in action which is controlling all creation, that is expressed by the word in the Bible, and others have expressed it by the word naam, or shabda, or Mohammedans put it as kalma. Naam is the power creating for all creation, responsible for all creation. And the Mohammedan literature tells us that kalma is the cause of all creation. Zoroaster puts it as Sarosha, the cause of all creation. So I mean to say that all masters who came in the past, they gave out that unless we contact with that God power, or God in action power, or which is called the Christ power or the Guru power, which is controlling all creation and controlling us in the body, by coming first within the body and then rising above the senses, you will have a glimpse of that God in action power, which is light and sound principle. So the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thine eye be evil, thy body is full of darkness. To have that glimpse of God, a true Christian is one who sees the light of God. This very definition has been given by masters in other religions too. A true Sikh is one who sees the light of God. Of course, that is given in different language of the masters when they came. And Muhammad says, who rises above the body consciousness, he sees the light of God. He is a true Mohammedan. You'll find the same definition is given to be true Christian, to be true Sikh, to be true Mohammedan, and the like. So you'll find in the Bible, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." In the East too, the whole religious masters, I'm giving you only the findings from various masters who came in the past, all believe in word, nama, shabda, sarosha, udogit, kalma, kalame kareem. These are the different names given by them to the same principle that is working. So when we come in contact with that, by rising above body consciousness, that is the power that leads us to the place from where that power came into action, to the absolute God or the worldless state of God. All agree there is two ways back. One is of the light, the other of the sound principle. So Jyoti Maharaj and Shruti Maharaj are the ways back to God. How can you have it when you rise above body consciousness? So for that purpose, you'll find we have to come at the back of the eyes. You'll find in Matthew's, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there are there be that find it. So again, that in St. Luke it is given, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able to find. The very words you find, O blind man, there is a tenth door within you, through which you can rise above body conscious and enter into the kingdom of God. How ignorant you are. Similarly, all of the masters say the same. So all these expressions, learn to die so that you may begin to live and just be reborn. Maulana Rumi says, except you rise above the senses, you cannot know anything of the beyond. So this is a fate awaiting each one of us. We have to leave the body someday, what is called at the time of death. Lost enemy that we have to conquer is death. How to conquer death? Simply how to leave the body at will, as we leave the body at the time of death. This you will find for that purpose. Those who have this question of the mystery of life at heart, and that desire you see is very strong, that God, who is a very controlling power within us, sees my child is seeking for me. He wants to solve this mystery of life. What does he do? Well, he brings him in contact with somewhere where he can learn the mystery of life, how to leave the body at will, transcend into the beyond and traverse into the beyond. So for that, first comes, there is a salvation, no salvation without linking with the Nam or world or God in action power, which is controlling us in the body by rising above senses. So body is the temple of God, and the whole creation is the temple of God. When we just enter this laboratory of man-body, rise above senses, we have a glimpse of that, first an experience of the light and sound principle of God. For that, salvation is needed without, by coming in, linked with the Nam or world or God in action power, which we can have, it is already within us, but we have to know how to invert, how to first withdraw from outside, within the liberty of man-body, and then how to rise above body consciousness, the mind which is leading us to the outgoing faculties, to the outward enjoyments, how to invert, how to control that thing. So there are ways for ways for that thing. The first thing comes, the grace of God. Second, that of the such a person at whose pole that God is manifest, or who has solved the mystery of life, how to rise above body consciousness, who himself is competent to leave the body at will into the beyond and see the light of God face to face, and is also competent to let others help to rise above body consciousness, open the inner eye to see the light of God, and also to open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. You will find in the revelations it is given thunder and harp, verse where harping, that is the reference given of the sound principle, and all other masters say the same thing, that is the way back to absolute God, from where this word or God in action, God came into action, you see. So there no salvation arises by coming in contact with that God in action power, which will lead us, which has two aspects, one of light, the other of the sound principle. So you will find all masters are great men who came in the past. They gave reference to that. Socrates heard within him a peculiar sound which pulled him irresistibly into higher spiritual regions. Then Plato says, refers to it as music of the spheres. Pythagoras also talked of Shabda as a word, for he described God as supreme music of the nature of harmonies. God to him was absolute truth clothed in light. Now to refer to Zoroaster. He sang in loving faith of the greatness of the God of light and taught the people to do so. They keep fire burning all the time in their temples. They worship the unstuck fire and the Sarosha. So I am quoting all these things, Vedas, another thing called it at Aditi, Usha, Savitra, and Udugit, Enagrab. So the different words, teachings are the same. They have solved the mystery of life, they found these things which is controlling all creation, our man body. If you know what to learn that way, you'll find that that's the only way back to God within each one of us. Now the question remains one. That is what? There are ways and ways to withdraw from outside and rise above sensing. There are harder ways, man-made ways, and there's the God-made way. Man-made ways are time-consuming, hazardous, and we are a hereditary not fit for those these days, which involve breedings and other things that is longer course, because in that we have to just control breathing inside by doing kumbhaka and then rise above the body to catch that sound principle and light of God when they rise above the sixth chakra or the ganglion at the back of the eyes. But the natural way does not involve all that arduous way. Even a child can see the light of God. Only one impetus, the one, is a man like us, to all intents and purposes, but he had developed in that way that he can rise above body consciousness and he comes in contact with God, he becomes a mouthpiece of God, you see. The God in him which is manifest, that has the power to raise other souls from the bondage of mind and matter. And they can give a lift the very first day to rise above, open the inner eye, to see the light of God and hear the voice of God. In scriptures we find that our eyes are sealed and our ears are sealed. I am not referring to giving particular references. This is a digest given almost all the masters. Unless those seals are broken, we cannot see God, light of God, cannot hear the voice of God. You will find Christ once said to his disciples, "Blessed thou art, thou you are, because you see things which the old prophets and the righteous men could not see. Blessed you are fortunate, because you hear things which the old prophets and righteous men could not hear." So these are some references given in all scriptures of the masters which just pertain to our, direct to our own self. Well, this is the inner way up, or what is called spirituality, or the way back to God, or the path of the masters. It does not mean that you should ignore your physical side or the intellectual side. You have to simply just spare an hour or two to just, after you get some contact, some experience, how to rise above body consciousness, if you can do yourself, blessed you are. If you cannot, then naturally you will have to come to somebody who has the competency to give you a lift, and you have the same experience and you testify your own self, you see it. All scriptures say so. God is light, God is sound principle, as I've given you references from various masters. When Lao Tzu came, he also called it as Tao. So I mean to say, those who came, they gave the same way back to God. And these masters who had solved this mystery of life, they became the mouthpiece of God. They always say, "I am the way, I am the light." Those who go to them, they have the light. So first comes the grace of God, second that of the such-like person, man body at whose pole, that he has realized God, you see. He has the competency to help others to also rise above that, to that level. That comes the next one, who is the competent to raise you to come in contact with the world power, or God in action power, which is light and sound principle. And third comes the giving of that experience to have something to start with. You see, to give lectures, after a little training you can do. To say others how to perform rites and rituals and say prayers, that also requires a training. After that you can do it. But to rise above body consciousness, how to open the inner eye, to see the light of God, that requires someone who has that competency with the grace of God, you see. So the third thing is, when you come to a such person, he raises your soul above the mind and matter, and you have the experience, something to start with. Suppose a man comes to you and gives a very wonderful talk on business principles, really appreciative and very informative, but to those people to whom he is giving a talk, they have no money to start with. What will your lecture do? If you can give them some capital to start with, then your lecture will carry some beneficial effect. Similarly, you have something to start with, some experience of light, some experience of the sound or the voice of God, then you could develop it. That's the beginning. You see, where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. ABC starts from here, that till many mentioned in the house of our father. Time factor is necessary. If that is done, then after that, the last but not the least, the effort of the disciple. So, effort of the disciple lies in what? And Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he said, if you want to know God, what to do, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. First part, I think, quite understandable, that my words abide in you. But how can you abide in him? That's the point. If you remember somebody, the reaction will be there, in whom you have the sweet remembrance of whom you have. So that way, when you remember somebody, that is natural reaction, he will remember you. So there will be receptivity. As you think, so you become. That will be, you will have the bread of life, you see. Who are these masters? Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That word or Shabda power just manifests in somebody, and that power is competent, the God in him is competent to raise other souls to that level, to give a contact with himself. No son of man can do it, but the God manifests in somebody. God resides in every heart, but in some that is manifest, in others it is not yet manifest. Our souls are in the bondage of mind and matter. If it is analyzed or liberated to rise above it, then you come in contact with that. That becomes the mouthpiece of God, and that God power in him is able to give you that aspect. So first of all, grace of God is required. If you are asked, and it shall be given unto you. If you have real desire to know God, God will meet you, sure and certain. It is he who will make some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can have this experience, this rising above body consciousness, just to be reborn anew and die daily. Open the inner eye to see the light of God, and this is what is taught by all masters who came in the past. So the reading of the scriptures can give us and create in us an interest to know God, cannot lead us to that one. That about which the scriptures speak, that is already within you. Man body is the true temple of God, and outward you will find all places of holy worship are made after the image of man body. All Hindu temples you find, those are dome shaped like head. Churches are like cross shaped or nose shaped. Mohammedan mosques are like forehead shapes. And all in there you find the symbol of light and symbol of sound principle. To show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating or lightened already within your body. So far as their practical masters you meet, they give you an access into the man, the variety of man body, open the inner eye to see the light of God. You see, in nature you'll find the room is, if a candle is lit, your whole room is lightened, you see. Similarly, that light which is within you, when it is, the whole body is full of light. So these are some of the teachings of the masters who came in the past, all so far. Christ also referred to that, Zoroaster referred to that, Pythagoras referred to that, Vedas and Upanishads referred to that, all other masters who came. They are all one on this subject, the way back to God. So the teachings of the East are the same And most of them, you say, they came from the east, you see. That has been the central place that has been emanated from there. So we are not to change of religions for that purpose. First step you have taken to remain in some religion is a blessing. You must remain there. But you have taken the first step. If you leave it, there will be corruption, or you will have to raise other religions. But remain where you are and learn this way as a matter of practical self-analysis, like anatomy of the body or medical life. It is anatomy of the soul from mind, matter and outgoing faculties, practical self-analysis. So whenever masters come, they have been giving the same teachings as ever. So this has been the teachings of all masters who came in the past, the esoteric side, which directly concerns our own self. When masters come, they don't tell us to leave the world and go to a wilderness. No. Develop all around. As I told you before, we have dwelt physically enough, we have dwelt intellectually more than enough, and our own intellect has gone against us. We have invented hydrogen bombs, neuroton bombs, which is a fear that any moment that war starts, the world will end. Where the hope? I mean, is there any hope for the safety or for peace? Well, our physical and intellectual advancement with all that, we are not happy, we are in the more danger. So the other side, the third side, the spiritual side, is the only hope left. Whenever the masters come, they look to all humanity as their family. We are carrying badges of the different religions. They don't look from the badges we are carrying, but they look from the level of man, all mankind is one, or from the level of the embodied souls. Souls are of the same essence as that of God. We are worshippers of the same God. So for that purpose, there one grand conference was held in India in 1957 at Delhi, where of over 250 delegates were invited. They came up from different regions and different countries. And there was a gathering of over 200,000 people. Next conference was held at Calcutta in 1960. Similar gathering was there, and also the delegates from other regions. Now, I had a president of the World Fellowship of Religions. We are round in the West to have more delegates from all regions, from all countries, so that the next conference, which is to be held by the end of 1964, all will come together, sit together, understand each other. The purpose is not to blend all religions into one, but to remain in their own religions, but just understand one another. Now pity it is, for want of this true knowledge of the other religions, we in zealousness consider that we have God the truth alone, when the same things have been given by other masters, of course in their own language, which are prevalent at the time. Well, we have respect for all of them, because truth is one. Those who knew the truth, they gave out the truth from time to time. To err is child, to err is human. And when again another somebody came up to just awaken the children of God towards God. The first work, as I told you, is to just all bring together all children of God. And also not only bring them together, but to remain there and follow the teachings already existing in the scriptures to know God. As I told you, some parallel thoughts from various religions, that is the same. So you'll find we are all brothers and sisters in God. So for that purpose, Baron Blumberg has been with me, the co-president of the World Fellowship of Religions. We have traveled in Europe, in almost all countries out there. We met the religious heads, the social heads, and the political heads. These things were put before them. Well, that is the only hope left now. These heads are driving force of the masses. If their angle of vision is changed, you will see there can be hope for the peace in the world. So we have found a great response also. I met the Vatican's too, long talk with them. Also, I had the good fortune to meet Pope Paul too. Now they are considering to have a conference of the non-religions, non-Christian religions, just to sit together and understand each other. I met even the political heads, well, De Valera in Ireland, prime ministers, mayors, and other social heads, and told them, well, look here, so many children. I had to meet also Mr. McCormack, the Speaker of the United States, and some half an hour, even more than that, talk with him and told them, you see, that so many children of God have been placed under your care by God to be looked after. All rulers of the countries, that's a privilege given by God to them. If one ruler cannot properly look after the children of God which are given under their care, the others should help each other, live and let others live. If they need any help, they may be given. In that way, you see, there can be no war, millions of people killed in the past two great wars. And that has appealed to them. There was a great response like that. That is the purpose of the World Fellowship of Religions, just to understand each other. When we understand each other, we are already one. As a man, we are one. As a soul, we are one. As a worshipper of the same God, called by so many names, we are the same. So one great thing that is before us is to just those even belong to religions, they name are believers in God, but as they have had no experience of God, most of the people are now being drifted into atheism. Each man belonging to his religion, he must be true to his own religion, and just the esoteric side, as I put before you, we are all one. The highest aim of joining any religion is to know God. Those teachings already there, exist already there, but on account of ignorance, we have forgotten. So this is what my two is meant for. And I'm going around with the grace of God. We are having great response everywhere. And this is what I found as a parallel study of religions and as a president of the World Fellowship of Religions. We are already one, unity is already there, and we have forgotten. Religions are just made just to enable us to realize that unity that already exists, but unfortunately that is going to just separate man from man under zealousness, considering that only one religion only has the truth and no other. When masters have come in all religions, they gave out the same thing. We have respect for all masters who came past. With these words, I thank you all for your patient hearing. And if we calmly consider this and see how far these things can help us. Thank you so much. All masters who came in the past, they told us that we are all children of the same God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Unless our self expands to cover all creation, there can be no real happiness and bliss. So the highest prayer our masters have been, as Guru Nanak and all others put it, peace be unto all the world over, O God, under thy will. Let this prayer go out from the very depths of our heart, and the God hears all that. If this prayer goes out from every heart, I think that is a very strong power. What we now think peace is impossible, that will become possible, because prayer can do work wonderfully. Where all human efforts fail, and we have failed badly so far, with all our advancements, we pray, O God, the whole world is aflame, all matters have passed out of our hands, it is thy grace and help only can save us from all this grand conflagration which is awaiting us in a 2 or 1 minute silence. Pray to God. I hope God will help. May thy grace fall on all of us. For that purpose, those who have this question of the mystery of life at heart, and that desire, you see, is very strong, that God, who is a very controlling power within us, sees my child is seeking for me. He wants to solve this mystery of life. What does he do? Well, he brings him in contact with somewhere where he can learn the mystery of life, how to leave the body at will, transcend into the beyond, and traverse into the beyond. So for that, first comes, there is a salvation, no salvation without linking with the Nam or world or God in action power, which is controlling us in the body by rising above senses. So body is the temple of God, and the whole creation is the temple of God. When we just enter this laboratory of man-body, rise above senses, we have a glimpse of that, first an experience of the light and sound principle of God. For that, salvation is needed without, by coming in, linked with the Nam or world or God in action power, which we can have, it is already within us, But we have to know how to invert, how to first withdraw from outside, within the laboratory of man-body, and then how to rise above body consciousness, the mind which is leading us to the outgoing faculties, to the outward enjoyments, how to invert, how to control that thing. So there are ways for that thing. The first thing comes, the grace of God. Second, that of the such a person at whose pole that God is manifest, or who has solved the mystery of life, how to rise above body consciousness, who himself is competent to leave the body at will into the beyond and see the light of God face to face, and is also competent to let others help to rise above body consciousness, open the inner eye to see the light of God, and also to open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. You'll find in the revelations it is given thunder and harp, words were harping, that is the reference given of the sound principle, and all other masters say the same thing, that is the way back to absolute God, from where this word or God in action, God came into action, you see. So there's no salvation arises by coming in contact with that God in action power, which will lead us, which has two aspects, one of light, the other of the sound principle. So you'll find all masters are great men who came in the past. They gave reference to that. Socrates heard within him a peculiar sound which pulled him irresistibly into higher spiritual regions. Then Plato says, refers to it as music of the spheres. Pythagoras also talked of Shabda as a word, for he described God as supreme music of the nature of harmonies. God to him was absolute truth, clothed in light. Now to refer to Zoroaster, he sang in loving faith of the greatness of the God of light and taught the people to do so. They keep fire burning all the time in their temples. They worship the unstruck fire and the Sarosha. So I am quoting all these things, Vedas, another thing called it at Aditi, Usha, Savitra, and Udugit, Inagrab. So the different words, teachings are the same. They have solved the mystery of life, they found these things which is controlling all creation, our man-body. If you know what to learn that way, you'll find that that's the only way back to God within each one of us. Now the question remains one, that is what? There are ways and ways to withdraw from outside and rise above senses. There are harder ways, man-made ways, and there's the God-made way. Man-made ways are time-consuming, hazardous, and we are a hereditary not fit for those these days, which involve dealings and other things that is longer course, because in that we have to just control breathing inside by doing kumbhaka and then rise above the body to catch that sound principle and light of God when they rise above the sixth chakra or the ganglion at the back of the eyes. But the natural way does not involve all that arduous way. Even a child can see the light of God. Only one impetus, the one, is a man like us. to all intents and purposes, but he had developed that way that he can rise above body consciousness and let the, and he comes in contact with God, he becomes a mouthpiece of God, you see. The God in him which is manifest, that has the power to raise other souls from the bondage of mind and matter. And they can give a lift the very first day to rise above, open the inner eye, to see the light of God and hear the voice of God. In scriptures we find that our eyes are sealed and our ears are sealed. I'm not referring to giving particular references. This is the digest given almost all the masters. Unless those seals are broken, we cannot see God, light of God, cannot hear the voice of God. You'll find Christ once said to his disciples, "Blessed thou art, thou you are, because you see things which the old prophets and the righteous men could not see. Blessed you are fortunate, because you hear things which the old prophets and righteous men could not hear." So these are some references given in all scriptures of the masters, which just pertain to our, direct to our own self. Well, this is the inner way up, or what is called spirituality, or the way back to God, or the path of the masters. It does not mean that you should ignore your physical side or the intellectual side. You have to simply just spare an hour or two to just, after you get some contact, some experience, how to rise above body consciousness. If you can do yourself, blessed you are. If you cannot, then naturally you will have to come to somebody who has the competency to give you a lift, and you have the same experience and you testify your own self, you see it. All scriptures say so. God is light, God is sound principle, as I have given you references from various masters. When Lao Tzu came, he also called it as Tao. So I mean to say, those who came, they gave the same way back to God, and these masters who had solved this mystery of life, they became the mouthpiece of God. They always say, "I am the way, I am the light." Those who go to them, they have the light. So first comes the grace of God, second that of the such-like person, man body at whose pole, that he has realized God, you see. He has the competency to help others to also rise above that, to that level. That comes the next one, who is competent to raise you to come in contact with the world power or God in action power, which is light and sound principle. And third comes the giving of that experience to have something to start with. You see, to give lectures, after little training you can do. To say others how to perform rites and rituals and say prayers, that also requires a training. After that you can do it. But to rise above body consciousness, how to open the inner eye, to see the light of God, that requires someone who has that competency with the grace of God, you see. So the third thing is, when you come to a such person, he raises your soul above the mind and matter, and you have the experience, something to start with. Suppose a man comes to you and gives a very wonderful talk on business principles, really appreciative and very informative, but to those people to whom he is giving a talk, They have no money to start with. What would you like to do? If you can give them some capital to start with, then your lecture will carry some beneficial effect. Similarly, if you have something to start with, some experience of light, some experience of the sound or the voice of God, then you could develop it. That's the beginning. You see, where the word philosophy ends, there the religion starts. ABC starts from here, that till many mentioned in the house of our Father. Time factor is necessary. If that is done, then after that, the last but not the least, the effort of the disciple. So, effort of the disciple lies in what? And Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he said, if you want to know God, what to do, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. First part, I think, quite understandable, that my words abide in you. But how can you abide in him? That's the point. If you remember somebody, the reaction will be there, in whom you have the sweet remembrance of whom you have. So that way, when you remember somebody, that is a natural reaction, he will remember you. So there will be receptivity. As you think, so you become. That will be, you will have the bread of life, you see. Who are these masters? Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That word or shabda power just manifests in somebody, and that power is competent, the God in him is competent to raise other souls to that level to give a contact with himself. No son of man can do it, but the God manifests in somebody. God resides in every heart, but in some that is manifest, in others it is not yet manifest. Our souls are in the bondage of mind and matter. If it is analyzed or liberated to rise above it, then you come in contact with that. That becomes the mouthpiece of God, and that God power in him is able to give you that aspect. So first of all, grace of God is required. If you ask, and it shall be given unto you. If you have real desire to know God, God will meet you, sure and certain. It is he who makes some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can have this experience, this rising above body consciousness, just to be reborn anew or die daily. Open the inner eye to see the light of God, and this is what is taught by all masters who came in the past. So the reading of the scriptures can give us and create in us an interest to know God, cannot lead us to that one. That about which the scripture speaks, that is already within you. Man body is the true temple of God, and outward you will find all places of holy worship are made after the image of man body. All Hindu temples you find, those are dome-shaped like head. Churches are like cross-shaped or nose-shaped. Mohammedan mosques are like forehead shapes. And all in there you find a symbol of light and symbol of sound principle. To show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating or lighted already within your body. So far as their practical masters you meet, they give you an access into the man, the variety of man body, open the inner eye to see the light of God. You see, in nature you'll find the room is, if it's candle is lit, the whole room is lightened, you see. Similarly, that light which is within you when it is the whole body is full of light. So these are some of the teachings of the masters who came in the past. Paul so far. Christ also referred to that. Zoroaster referred to that. Pythagoras referred to that. Vedas and the Upanishads referred to that. All other masters who came, they are all one on this subject, the way back to God. So the teachings of the East are the same, and most of them, you say, they came from the East, you see. That has been the central place that has been emanated from there. So we are not to change of religions for that purpose. First step you have taken to remain in some religion is a blessing. You must remain there. But you have taken the first step. If you leave it, there will be corruption, or you will have to raise other religions. But remain where you are and learn this way as a matter of practical self-analysis, like anatomy of the body or medical life. It is anatomy of the soul from mind, matter and outgoing faculties, practical self-analysis. So whenever masters come, they have been giving the same teachings as ever. So this has been the teachings of all masters who came to the past, the esoteric side, which directly concerns our own self. When masters come, they don't tell us to leave the world and go to a wilderness. No, develop all around. As I told you before, we have dwelt physically enough. We have dwelt intellectually more than enough. And our own intellect has gone against us. We have invented hydrogen bombs, neuroton bombs, which is the fear any moment that war starts, the world will end. Where the hope? I mean, is there any hope for the safety or for peace? Well, our physical and intellectual advancement with all that, we are not happy, we are in the more danger. So the other side, the third side, the spiritual side, is the only hope left. Whenever the masters come, they look to all humanity as their family. We are carrying badges of the different religions. They don't look from the badges we are carrying, but they look from the level of the man. All mankind is one. Or from the level of the embodied souls. Souls are of the same essence as that of God. We are worshippers of the same God. So for that purpose, there one grand conference was held in India in 1957 at Delhi, where over 250 delegates were invited. They came up from different regions and different countries. And there was a gathering of over 200,000 people. Next conference was held at Calcutta in 1960. Similar gathering was there, and also the delegates from other regions. Now, I, as a president of the World Fellowship of Religions, we are round in the West to have more delegates from all regions, from all countries, so that the next conference, which is to be held by the end of 1964, all will come together, sit together, understand each other. The purpose is not to blend all religions into one, but to remain in their own religions, but just understand one another. Now pity it is, for want of this true knowledge of the other religions, we in zealousness consider that we have got the truth alone, when the same things have been given by other masters, of course in their own language, which are prevalent at the time. Well, we have respect for all of them, because truth is one. Those who knew the truth, they gave up the truth from time to time. To err is child, to err is human. And when again another somebody came up to just awaken the children of God towards God. The first work, as I told you, is to just all bring together all children of God. And also not only bring them together, but to remain there and follow the teachings already existing in the scriptures to know God. As I told you, some parallel thoughts from various religions, that is the same. So you'll find we are all brothers and sisters in God. So for that purpose, Baron Blumberg has been with me, the co-president of the World Fellowship of Religions. We have traveled in Europe, in almost all countries out there. We met the religious heads, the social heads, and the political heads. These things were put before them. Well, that is the only hope left now. These heads are driving force of the masses. If their angle of vision is changed, you will see there can be hope for the peace in the world. So we have found a great response all through. I met the Vatican too, long talk with them. Also, I had the good fortune to meet Pope Paul too. Now they are considering to have a conference of the non-religions, non-Christian religions, just to sit together and understand each other. I met even the political heads, well, De Valera in Ireland, prime ministers, mayors, and other social heads, and told them, well, look here, so many children. I had to meet also Mr. McCormack, the Speaker of the United States. And some half an hour, even more than that, talk with him and told them, you see, that so many children of God have been placed under your care by God to be looked after. All rulers of the countries, that's a privilege given by God to them. If one ruler cannot properly look after the children of God which are given under their care, the others should help each other, live and let others live. If they need any help, they may be given. In that way, you see, there can be no war, no, I mean, millions of people killed in the past two great wars. And that has appealed to them. There was a great response like that. That is the purpose of the World Fellowship of Religions, just to understand each other. When we understand that each other, we are already one. As a man, we are one. As a soul, we are one. As a worshipper of the same God, called by so many names, we are the same. So one great thing that is before us is to just those even belong to religions, they name are believers in God, but as they have had no experience of God, most of the people are now being drifted into atheism. Each man belonging to his religion, he must be true to his own religion, and just the esoteric side, as I put before you, we are all one. The highest aim of joining any religion is to know God. Those teachings already there, exist already there, but on account of ignorance, we have forgotten. So this is what my tool is meant for. And I'm going around with the grace of God. We are having great response everywhere. And this is what I found as a parallel study of religions and as a president of the World Fellowship of Religions. We are already one. We are unity is already there and we have forgotten. Religions are just made just to enable us to realize that unity that already exists but unfortunately that is going to just separate man from man under zealousness, considering that only one religion only has the truth and no other. When masters have come in all religions, they gave out the same thing. We have respect for all masters who came past. With these words, I thank you all for your patient hearing. And if we calmly consider this and see how far these things can help us. Thank you so much. All masters who came in the past, they told us that we are all children of the same God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Unless our self expands to cover all creation, there can be no real happiness and bliss. So the highest prayer of masters have been, as Guru Nanak and all others put it, peace be unto all the world over, O God, under thy will. Let this prayer go out from the very depths of our heart, and the God hears all that. If this prayer goes out from every heart, I think that is a very strong power. What we now think peace is impossible, that will become possible, because prayer can do work wonderfully. Where all human efforts fail, and we have failed badly so far, with all our advancements, we pray, O God, the whole world is aflame, all matters have passed out of our hands, it is thy grace and help only can save us from all this grand conflagration which is awaiting us. In a 2 or 1 minute silence, pray to God. I hope God will help. May thy grace fall on all of us.